The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at ShelleheadComics.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome my wonderful co-host, Mr. Dave Draper!
Yay!
Yay! Dave Draper over there! Yay!
Yay! Yay! We made the thing spike. Hooray!
Hooray! As I was off-air talking about friends of mine that I grew up with, Dave suddenly got all jelly on me.
What? You want to spend? You got people better to spend your time with than me. That's fine.
Wow.
Whatever.
Wow.
I'm used to it.
Ouch.
You think I developed the shell? Hatred for humanity. People like you have better things to do, better people to hang out with.
Wow.
Oh, you think you're special?
I'm hurt.
You think you're the first?
I am hurt.
Whatever. Do you have not a nice so fourth much, with your bestest so much, friend that you grew up with?
Not so much in the shoulder or the head, right in the heart, David.
Did you have a good time with your buddy?
I didn't do anything with
childhood.
Him. I couldn't. I had a scared dog. I couldn't go anywhere.
Oh, poor Dash.
Yeah, there, see? Oh, how the mighty flipped real quick, huh? You mentioned poor puppy dogs, and he melts like a little soft core of an ice cream sandwich.
Remind me, I got to pay Dash off for that.
Oh, dang it.
Good we were in cahoots. He was never scared. It was all an act.
It was all an act.
I was like, hey, screw up his 4th of July for me, buddy. He was like, is there food in it for me? I'm like, oh, yeah, there's food in it
cheese?
For me. The cheese.
Tools. Gang, we're
no,
back.
No, you don't want the puppet having anything to do with 4th of July.
No.
That's a horrible idea.
Yeah, dangerous things happen.
Things explode?
Yeah, no, things explode real bad.
I am so patriotic! I love this country!
I love this country.
Oh, Canada!
Wrong. Oh, gee. Ah! My hand!
I'm out!
Fire.
Pretty blue fire.
That's the worst. The worst. The worst is the blue and the yellow.
Woo! Boom booms.
No boom booms.
Da-boom, da-booms.
No. No boom booms. Oh, gang, we're back for an all new show.
If you haven't noticed.
If
you haven't figured out, having downloaded the show and listening to it, that we are back for a new show.
There's some fun stuff coming up. I wanted to talk about the weekend box office a little bit.
Sure, why not? Why not do that? Let us do that.
It's a sad day when a Steven Spielberg film bombs.
Yeah.
Because, man, nobody went to see the BFG, which is the Big Friendly Giant, for those of you, not the Big Freaking Gun.
Yeah. It was a Roald Dahl film.
$140 million budget.
Yeah.
Opening weekend, $18 million.
Yeah, it was competing against the Dory.
Oh, my God, it was competing in a lot of stuff. Finding Dory, The Legend of Tarzan, The Purge, Election Year.
Well, to be fair, The Purge, Election Year probably took a big chunk of the BFG's audience. Oh, I mean, they are competing. Yeah. They are competing for the same crowd.
Yes, they are. Horror movie, The Purge, Election Year, had a $10 million budget. Opened with $31 million, so it's...
Yeah, it made money.
Horror movies always make money. People always are like, why do they keep making horror movies? Because they make money.
Cheap.
Yes, they're cheap. And why do you think they made so many Saw films? Those movies cost like $5 million a piece to make. They made a mint at the box office. Every year they released one for like 8 years.
Pretty much until they stopped making money, and then they stopped making them.
Well, no, they just stopped because they told all the stories they thought they could tell.
Oh.
They're planning another
you're
one.
You're so naive.
I was surprised to see The Legend of Tarzan open up really strongly. Open up number 2 at the box office, only beaten by Finding Dory. But I was surprised because Tarzan movies in the past... famously have not done well,
I think Greystoke.
Greystoke did okay.
Well. That's the one that, I mean, everything else, I think. The Bo Derek one was just terrible.
Well, yeah.
Because it was a Bo Derek one.
Yeah, because it was Bo Derek.
And I don't remember how the Disney one did. Oh, no.
Oh, I was going to tell you what the, what Greystoke did, but apparently Box Office Mojo is in the process of updating their site at right literally at this moment. And I can't see
even
that,
as
so.
We speak.
So we will move on.
I'm not saying it set the world on fire.
No,
but I think it did respectably.
That had the mother effing Highlander in it.
I know it did.
Christopher Lambert was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I knew him from originally, was that, because I was a kid back then, so I didn't, right. You know.
Carrie and I watched Hail Caesar, the Coen Brothers movie with about the 40s, which is not a good movie, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It's not great. it's very, like you watch, and at the end of it, you're like, the hell, what happened? Like, what? Well,
that's kind of a Coen Brothers movie
thing. No, but usually their movies make sense. This made no sense. But anyway.
Okay, fair enough.
One of the directors is a German director, and it's Highlander.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Christopher Lambert, and I'm like, oh, he hasn't aged well at all.
So few of us have, Jason.
Well,
so few of us have.
You and I have aged well.
But we're like his age when he made Greystoke. Maybe just a few years older.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's what you forget. Like, we're Harrison Ford's age when he was playing Han Solo.
Oh, yeah.
So
I guess we'll see what we look like in 40 years.
We look half as good, man. We'll be doing well.
That's true. Netflix announced today they signed an exclusive deal with the CW. Which they will be the exclusive streaming content manager for CW shows, all the CW shows.
Okay.
And what's interesting about this is that literally 8 days after the season finale of every CW show, they will immediately then air on Netflix.
Okay.
Instead of waiting for DVDs to come out and several months after that, 8 days after the season finale of all the CW original programming, they will be on Netflix to stream.
Okay.
So, and this goes for, let's see, what were all the shows this year? This includes Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, DC's Legends of Tomorrow, The Vampire Diaries, Jane the Virgin, No Tomorrow, Frequency, Supernatural, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, the yet-to-be-unveiled Riverdale.
I assume iZombie.
iZombie is one of those.
There's one about space people in the 300, the 400?
That show's done.
Oh, okay.
That show got canceled. But what's interesting about this is that since it also deals with Supergirl, hopefully that deal includes season one.
Season one?
Yeah. And hopefully season one will start airing, because I only watched the pilot and the Flash episode. That's it. That's all I watched.
I didn't even see the Flash episode.
And apparently the season is pretty good.
I've heard... Well, we're Doctor Who fans.
Correct.
So we're kind of used to that. Well, you're not so much, because the modern Doctor Who's had a little bit better production values. But Doctor Who's kind of famous for not necessarily having the... I've heard that Supergirl's good, but you got to be a little forgiving, because they tried to do a lot with not... You know, like Red Tornado's kind of cheesy looking.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, all the stuff's kind of not really...
Martian Manhunter apparently is awesome.
Is he?
Yes.
Well, he's a cool character. I'm glad he's finally getting his due.
Yes.
Even if it is his second banana Supergirl.
Could be worse.
Well, yeah, it could be a lot worse, but I'm just saying.
But I thought that was kind of a big, like, landmark.
Got replaced on Justice League by Cyborg.
That was kind of a big landmark thing for them to announce, and I was like, well, that's kind of cool to know, actually.
To me, it's less landmark and more a sign of things to come.
Yes.
Like, because, you know... It's more like, oh, hey, DVD sales are still going to exist. Oh, good, because that I like that. I prefer that.
Mm.
I was happy they announced Daredevil Season 1's coming out on the Blu-ray.
Yes.
I was like, thank God.
Which is about time. People have been complaining about that. Like, where is Daredevil Season 1? Where is Jessica Jones? Why are these not on Blu-ray and DVD yet?
Because you can just go to Netflix and watch them.
Yes, but Netflix understands that people don't always want to do that. Some people don't have the Netflix, and they want to watch, so...
Yeah.
Hasbro continues to unveil their San Diego Comic-Con exclusives.
Slowly.
Very slowly.
I believe this was a topic of conversation before we started rolling.
They announced the My Little Pony Friendship is Magic exclusive for this year, which is figures of Discord and Fluttershy.
Now, those are action figures, right? Fluttershy looks articulated.
Fluttershy is fully articulated. She is part of the new action figure line that is coming out. Discord, I believe, more than likely is... A semi-posable vinyl statue, basically.
All right.
I don't think he's going to be fully posable, but he does have a light-up base.
Yay!
Yes, Fluttershy, that'll be the first posable My Little Pony action figure that will be to the market as the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, because those have not hit the stores yet.
Really? I thought you had some.
There were a couple lines ago... There were semi-posable figures that had some articulation. These are fully articulated and are based on their appearance in the cartoon series.
Okay.
Which Hasbro hasn't done to this date. All of the ponies they've released do not look hardly anything like the television
counterparts. Well, I mean, that's, you know, again, we're, you know, you're a Transformers guy, I'm a semi-Transformers guy.
Right.
Like, this is nothing new.
But this is their first foray into releasing those types
of
figures. Yeah,
a TV so, accurate.
Yes. Looks cool. It's going to retail for $50. And it's going to be available at Comic-Con, of course, first, and then they should be available after the convention.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have fun with that.
So that'll be interesting.
Is Hasbro Toy Shop still a thing?
Does
it still exist?
It still exists, yeah.
I haven't bothered with that in ages.
I know. But yeah, it does look like Discord is a little bit, like his head is posable and looks like his arms might be posable, but they come in a fun little packaging, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But $50, that's kind of... To get that Discord figure, it's kind of steep.
Well, it's not even a figure.
But that might be the only way they release a somewhat
a Discord. I get you. Yeah, I get that. And yet, my response is,
As it usually is.
Especially with ponies, come on.
True. Some of the other... I gotta find it here. I lost it
We're
somewhere.
We're jumping around!
Hold on, I lost it.
It's madness! Too much stimulation, I'm going crazy.
Yeah, hold on.
I was looking for the end of 2001 here,
I was looking for the other Star Wars celebration. Did we talk about these last week?
No.
I don't think we did, because they announced them afterwards.
I think we talked about them when you came back over.
That's right.
To sort more toys.
More toys. Hasbro announced the Star Wars Black San Diego Comic-Con and Star Wars Celebration action figure exclusives. So they originally announced these as separate. One was going to be Star Wars Celebration. One was going to be San Diego Comic-Con. Now, apparently, they will both be available at both conventions, is from what I understand. But one is Star Wars The Black Series 6-inch Kylo Ren, who is unmasked.
Unmasked.
And he comes with a melted Darth Vader helmet and a stand.
I think that's
what
people are excited about.
Yes.
Stupid helmet.
Yeah. And he comes with a kind of a display stand with the First Order...
logo
flag on the back of there. So nice looking figure.
If I could buy it at retail, I would.
Yep. Of course, there are rumblings that these two figures may be made available at retail down the road.
Did with Boba Fett. They with the Stormtrooper from last year, they stripped down all the extra stuff.
Yeah.
And just sold them normally, especially with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And then old Obi-Wan Kenobi from Episode 4, who comes with an extended lightsaber, an unextended lightsaber. The little table from his hovel, and a hologram Leia.
The Help Me Obi-Wan Kenobi hologram.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, yeah, they'll leave out the unextended lightsaber and the table and the Leia and just release the regular, hopefully. Because I know a lot of people really want that figure.
Yes. It's one of those figures they haven't done yet that everyone's like,
well, it's a classic character from Episode 4, and it's a key character.
Yes. It's very cool, though. It was nice to see those... finally announced, but again, Dave's like, meh.
I've got a lot of life figures at this point.
Yes.
But I'm still like, I can live without both of those.
True.
The Kylo Ren would be, again, if I could get that without having to, like, go to Comic-Con or be on their stupid website, if I could go somewhere and just buy it, because every now and then Toys R Us gets stuff after Comic-Con.
Yes, every once in a while.
Once in a while. Like, if I could just walk into Toys R Us and buy that one, I would.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to pay a premium for it. I'm not going to buy it on eBay. I'm not going to chase it down. I'm not going to sit at my computer the Monday after refreshing. No. I'm good. In fact, like, I am pretty... Aside from that one Marvel Universe Legends set that they haven't officially announced, they've never shown it in packaging. They never announced it.
But stuff is leaked.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it's happening. Other than that, I am, like, golden.
Yeah, Dave's good.
Yeah, I'm good.
We talked about Dream X's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1/6 scale Casey Jones a while back.
Did we?
Yes, we did. He was a decent looking figure. Dave has forgotten about that already.
I like turtles, but I'm not a big turtle. Especially when you get away from the core
right.
Toy line.
They did announce their next figure, which is the Shredder, which is a very amazing rendition of the animated Shredder.
Good, yeah.
Realistic looking animated Shredder.
Now,
his costume.
What scale is this again?
It's 1/6 scale. It's 12 inch.
Okay, 12
These
inch.
Are 12 inch figures. But the Shredder has removable faceplate. The helmet comes off. 5 pairs of interchangeable hands, a sword with a sheath, 2 throwing stars, a communicator that he can talk to Krang with, and a canister of mutant genus. It's a pretty...
Like, I'm not even... Again, I'm not in the market for this, but I'm looking at that picture going, wow, that is...
It's...
Really nice.
It's a damn impressive figure. I mean, the...
It's very cool.
The face sculpt underneath of a Rokusaki. I mean, the little communicator, literally, if it'll pull up here...
Alright.
It's being slow. Has a little picture of animated Krang on there.
Shredder!
I mean, it's...
That was my animated Krang.
That was good.
No, it was terrible.
It's a magnificent looking 12-inch figure. I mean, it's... and people are complaining about how...
What?
Well, they're like, oh, it's not my scale, which is what Dave does a lot.
It's not my scale.
But, my God, that thing is amazing.
Like, if I was a Turtles guy, I would buy that.
Yes.
If I was slightly more of a Turtles guy, I would be all over that, because that's a very cool figure.
I mean, I love the... just the face sculpt on him is pretty...
It's okay.
But, I mean, how many people are really going to pose him without his helmet?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
But
oh, there's all kinds of little detail in the helmet.
Yeah, there's all kinds of little detail in the helmet, the armor.
Oh, man.
He's got extra... like, the extra hands he's got has the extended...
The claws,
yeah. Has his Shredder claws extended, which are kind of cool. I mean, it's sweet. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's Dreamy
that's
X.
That's really nice.
Shredder 1/6 scale action figure. He's pretty.
And again, you know, I'm not a big 6 scale guy. I'm not a big Turtles guy. I like Turtles, but I'm not a huge Turtles guy. That's a really impressive piece of toy.
And apparently, there were... I don't know if it's on their site or not. There was silhouette of upcoming figures, and I guess the Turtles, of course.
Yeah, I was wondering if they're ever going to do... I mean, if they did Casey and they're doing Shredder, like, you'd think you want to get a Turtle or two in there. They were kind of... They kind of have their name above the marquee.
Yes. Although, I don't think they have a... I don't think they have a website.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
These toys are being made by crazy people, Jason.
I know, it's not right.
Huh. Yeah, see, how the heck did you see the...
There's the Casey Jones. Well, I read it that someone had said that
I don't remember that at all. Okay. I don't remember talking about that.
Here you go.
I may have just, like, absolutely...
There's the silhouette of our...
of the Turtles.
Yes. And it just says coming soon.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
So more than likely, the Turtles will be animated style as well.
I would assume it would be like Casey and
Shredder. Because Casey's very animated looking, realistically
styled. It's the animated... I don't want to put that. like it's a realistic style applied to the animated design.
Yes,
Which is cool. I actually really like it when they do stuff like that.
Yeah, I do too.
Frankly,
so it's they really well done. So.
Yeah.
DC Comics and Mattel have some pictures have snuck out of some other figures that people weren't sure were going to be made. I guess these were test shots out of a factory. Surprise, surprise, of the Suicide Squad figures.
Wow, those look terrible.
One of Diablo.
That's terrible.
Well.
Those arms are out of scale with that body.
Yeah, they're turned weird.
No, those elbow joints.
Oh, yeah.
Are like ridiculously out of scale.
Yeah. So we've got Diablo and Rick Flag.
Those guys. Basically the expendable characters who die.
Although Spoiler Rick Flag's better looking.
Really? Yeah, okay. Comparatively speaking, I suppose.
So those are probably going to be 2 more figures added to that line at some point.
In other words, the non-Harley, non-Big Willy characters.
Yes.
The ones who die.
Yes. But there's a lot of exclusives out for Harley Quinn.
Yeah, because I picked up a couple of these figures over the weekend, and it was amazing looking at the back of the card, because I got the Toys R Us exclusives. Like, there's, like, 3 Harleys listed on the back, and I'm like, you're building your line on figures that you short pack.
Yes.
It's amazing.
They showed off a Harley Quinn in a gown today, in her little,
I think that's when she gets... my guess is that's when she gets captured.
Yes.
Like, there's that shot of them driving around in the Joker's car, and I think he kind of sacrifices her to get away, and Batman saves her.
Yeah.
Like, I know the whole movie by the trailer at this point. Yeah, she comes with the... The exclusive figures come with extra parts to build a different version of Killer Croc.
Yes.
And she comes with the hands.
So you will... in order to build Croc with his shirt and jacket, you need the Purple Coat Joker, the Harley Quinn without jacket and bat, Deadshot, Boomerang, Katana, and Batman Action Mask. That'll complete Killer Croc.
Ah, but no, you don't. You don't need Deadshot, and you don't need one of the other ones, because they come with the arms.
Oh, yeah.
So, Joker with the silver coat and Harley with her jacket come with, I think one of them comes with just like an overlay jacket for the chest, which Batman comes with. But the other one comes with arms that have the jacket arms, the sleeves. Okay. And then she comes, the gown Harley comes with the hands.
The hands.
Now, Deadshot comes with an arm that's bare, but it's got like taped up hands, like a boxer.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm going to use anyway, because yeah. I don't think I'm going to bother getting the hot.
And then to build Croc without his shirt and jacket, you need the silver coat, Joker, the Harley Quinn with jacket and mallet, which are Toys R Us exclusives.
No.
Are they not? I thought they were.
They are, but okay. To build Croc without the jacket, you just need the basic figures, which is Batman, Aqua Batman, Joker with the purple coat, Harley without the coat and with the bat, Boomerang, Katana, and Deadshot.
Okay.
To build him with the... Technically, to build him correctly with the coat, you need Gown Harley, and then you need the two Toys R Us exclusives, Silver Coat Joker, and Jacket Harley with the mallet. That's who you need to build with the coat.
It's a little confusing.
Trust me. Hey, you get used to it.
It's a little much.
They're overdoing it, and I don't like that they've split a Build-A-Figure over two waves again.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb.
I hate it when they do that.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, because what happened? Because I've literally still never ever seen Aquaman, Lex Luthor, or that Bat creature in stores here in Springfield for Batman vs.
Right.
I've never seen them in stores.
You had to order those offline.
I got Aquaman off of eBay, and then the other three that I needed, I got off of Big Bad Toy Store. They had a set.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to order the set with Boomerang, Katana, and whoever the third... Oh, Joker.
Right.
I'll probably... Because they've got that set listed for pre-order. I'll probably just do that so I can complete Croc.
That'll make sense.
Yeah. Because I want Croc. And can we just talk for a minute, like... How amazing! Like, I know that the focus is all on Harley, right?
Right.
We're getting a live action Killer Croc.
Yeah, it's kind of
as
cool.
A Batman fan, I'm kind of like, wait, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah,
like we've never had a Killer Croc live action before.
That's kind of cool.
And then there's the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive.
Comic-Con exclusive is the Joker in his big long purple coat and chains and the Panda Man.
Yeah.
Which
I'm betting money that's Harley under there.
That could be.
And the panda's actually flocked. The toy is flocked.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's actually a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. I'm not going to go out of my way to try to get a hold of, but if I see it at a show and it's not marked up like stupid expensive, I might
pick
it up.
You'll grab it, yeah. And don't forget, there's also 12-inch figures of those 6-inch figures basically blown up into 12-inch scale.
Basically, so, yeah.
Yeah.
That pass on those.
Yeah, they're not...
They're not super great.
No, not really. But, hey, they tried.
I know that Toys R Us had them, and I didn't see them the other day. So I'm thinking those already sold out.
Yes. Tamahashi Nations teased a new Soul of Shogokin figure, which if you don't know
what that is.
Dave doesn't know what it is.
I don't watch the animes.
Well, the Soul of Shogokin line is a line of nostalgic yet high-tech series of die-cast metal robots packed with hidden gimmicks and features.
Robbie the Robot?
Well, yeah, kind of. Their newest line announced for that series is Voltron. And they will be showing off Voltron at the San Diego Comic-Con 2016 at booth 3545 this year.
Pimping the Voltron these days.
Yeah, and this is probably going to be one of those lines for Voltron collectors that they're going to want to get. Because it's probably going to be the best Voltron figure probably made to date.
Okay.
Transformable-wise, gimmick-wise, it's probably going to be
pretty
darn amazing.
I can't say one way or the other, but okay.
Yeah, so...
I hope that people who want it get it. I believe strongly in that. I watched Voltron as a kid. I know there's a new series on Netflix.
Yes, I have not watched it.
I've seen clips, and it looks terrible. It looks super anime.
It is. It's very anime-ish.
Like, the original show was not... I mean, it was Japanese animation, but it wasn't anime with the stupid expressions and the crazy reaction shots and
right.
Yeah, no.
I lost my breath for a minute because anyone who's wanting Titans Return Titan Class Fortress Maximus, Big Bad Toy Store has it in stock.
Yay!
But it's going to cost you $149.99.
Mother of Magog.
Yeah. He's huge, and he's really nice looking, but he's $150.
Have not seen hide nor hair of those at retail.
How much was Devastator? $100?
No, it's about $140, I think.
$140, okay.
I believe it was about that much, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe $120. It's been a while.
Holy crap, $150.
It's a big toy.
Yeah, it's a big toy, and again, it looks beautiful, but wow.
I'm waiting on my Trypticon.
Yes, Dave is waiting on Trypticon. Shout Factory, the company known for a lot of nostalgic DVD and Blu-ray releases.
If you say
and,
so.
Yes, and so much more. Have announced their Comic-Con lineup.
Oh, thank God. I was worried that a booth would go without a bunch of stupid overpriced exclusives.
Well, no. This is an exclusive. This is their lineup at their booth. Thursday, July 21st at 10 a.m., you can meet the Power Rangers.
Okay.
From 11 to 12 p.m., you can meet Gail Simone and Misty Lee, who are signing for Red Sonja, Queen of Plagues, which is the new animated comic based on the Dynamite comic. I think it's supposed to be animated series.
No, they do motion comics and stuff sometimes. I don't know if that's the case. I'm just saying that happens.
Right. Friday the 22nd at 10 a.m., you can again meet the Power Rangers. 2 p.m.
Now, which Power Rangers are we talking about? Like the original Power Rangers
I don't know
or
yet.
Like the new ones?
I don't know.
Well, that's just kind of a huge difference.
Just said Power Rangers. 2 p.m., you can meet Spot, a.k.a. Cthulhu, from the upcoming Howard Lovecraft and the Frozen Kingdom animated feature.
I hate that they keep making Cthulhu cute.
3:30 p.m., Scream Factory presents Return of the Living Dead signing with Thom Williams, John Philbin, and Sean Clark, who are Freddy, Chuck, and the host of Horror's Hallowed Grounds. 8 p.m., an inside look at Shout Factory and Scream Factory, which is a panel for that day. Saturday, July 23rd from 12 to 3, there's a photo opportunity with the original Tom Servo and Crow T robot puppets.
Oh, with the puppets.
Yes. 2 p.m., you can again meet Spot, a.k.a. Cthulhu. Let's see. 4 to 4:30, you can join Nerdist and Geek Sundry for Camp Carnival, a trip back in time to Classic Pop Culture Summer Camp. Which will be an MST3K event.
Okay.
So a special Q&A with Joel Hodgson, Felicia Day, and Jonah Ray, which they are part of the upcoming reboot.
Oh, the reboot, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Signing with the cast of the next season of MST3K. So that'll be fun.
Sounds awesome.
Yes.
I did really enjoy MST3K back in the day.
I would hope that...
I'm just being grumbly.
I would hope that the new one is...
And I've dragged you to a couple of Riff Tracks ones. Live,
so. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. There's of course the some of the stuff that they'll be on sale. I believe first at Comic-Con. Some of their titles are The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai in the 8th Dimension Collector's Edition. This Collector's Edition comes loaded with bonus features, including a comprehensive retrospective featuring brand new interviews with members of the cast and crew, and an additional disc of bonus features. That'll be something Dave will probably go after.
Because, I might. Yeah.
And I might, too, because I do like that movie. Army of Darkness Collector's Edition, which the definitive Collector's Edition is jam-packed with bonus content, including new interviews with star and co-producer Bruce Campbell and the cast, special makeup effect artists Howard Berger, Tony Gardner, Robert Kurtzman, and Greg Nicotero. Audio commentary, alternate and deleted scenes, and much more, in a 3-disc Blu-ray set.
You want to have some fun? You want me to upset all the nerds?
Huh.
So I've seen Army of Darkness.
Right.
And I've seen Evil Dead.
Right.
I've never seen Evil Dead 2. All the nerds just went,
yeah, which is weird.
I hated the first movie so much that I would not watch the second one. And then someone described the third one as Attack of the Bone People, and I'm like,
pretty much.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, that's a fun movie.
So I watched that on, like, chopped up version on...
Evil Dead 2 is basically a better retelling of the first
one. Aware. Yeah. I'm aware of what it is.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers Collector's Edition.
Which one?
This would be... It doesn't say which.
Oh, no, it's the 70s one. San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
So that's the famous one with... not Kiefer Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland
going...
yeah.
At the end.
The Manhunter Collector's Edition. Middleman, the complete series, which was a very short-lived ABC Family live-action TV series, which was... followed the adventurous life of a 22-year-old aspiring artist, Wendy Watson, as she gets recruited by a top-secret agency to fight comic book-esque criminals under the guidance of her straight-laced boss, who introduces himself only as the middleman. I think I actually...
never heard of it.
I think I actually have that.
Do you?
On DVD?
Legitimate DVD? Or your cheesy Russian pirate discs?
No, no pirates. I actually own the original release that Shout Factory did of it. Of the complete series years ago.
Well, it's worthless now.
I know, right?
You just throw it away.
There you go.
This was ABC...
It was ABC Family.
How long has ABC Family been around?
For a while.
Oh, I like her outfit.
Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir spots on. Not sure what that is, but apparently it's a superhero fun thing. My Little Pony Friendship is Magic Season 5.
Wow.
Yeah. Mystery Science Theater 3000 Volume 36. Which represents the Sci-Fi Channel party. Includes the episode Stranded in Space City Limits, The Incredible Melting Man, and Riding with Death, Red Sonja, Queen of Plagues, Return of the Living Dead Collector's Edition, Super Sentai ZU Ranger, DOS is going to kill me because I said that wrong, the complete series, which I'm sure DOS will
hopefully he's just so happy to get that on the DVDs.
On the DVDs.
He lets you live.
Yes. Session 9, and They Live, the collector's edition, which is one of the best fight scenes of all time.
Yes, that's a underrated John Carpenter classic.
I agree.
Truer, its message is truer today than ever.
Yes, it is. So some fun stuff coming from Shout Factory. Super 7 announced its Alien. It's Alien exclusive this year, which is a prototype version of the 18-inch Alien that was released by Kenner.
Milking it. $195.
$195 each. Comes with a prototype box. The figure comes all cast in gray plastic.
Oh.
Yep. So this is...
I guess I'll just have to make do with my actual...
With your Kenner actual Alien. 18-inch Kenner Alien, yeah. But they did reproduce the box pretty closely, you know, the front of it anyway. The sides, things are, you know, they got prototypes smacked on everything and... it's cool. Yes, they are milking. Kinda.
They're milking it.
They are milking it for everything they have. It's, you know, people who aren't able to afford an actual 18-inch Alien at this point.
At $200, I think
you can buy a pretty decent complete one loose out of the box for that.
Yeah, that's pretty close to, I think, what I paid for mine.
Yeah.
If not less. I paid less, not that.
They also revealed that Skeletor's lair will be returning to the Super 7 store in San Diego this year.
Oh, thank God.
And, of course, in order to get admitted, you'll have to get a power token. This year's power token features He-Man. Last year's featured Skeletor. I don't think they've announced any of the He-Man exclusives, but there will be Skeletor's lair pop-up shop, and you get to keep your token. So you don't have to give it up. You get to keep it. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Fun stuff there.
Sure.
And then Hot Toys announced today that they're pushing back the release of their 1/6 scale Hulkbuster in order to do some upgrades, which include actually being able to place a 1/6 scale Iron Man figure inside the armor, which is what people wanted to begin with. And they were like,
mad geniuses.
They're like, we can't do it.
Yes, we can.
They added, they announced that not only will you be able to put the Iron Man mark, I don't know, what is that, XL3? I don't know which, I don't even know what Roman numerals that is. Yeah. Collectible figure inside the Hulkbuster. After taking out the upper body one, they're still going to do the one that looks like he's in there, but it's just the upper body. So they're going to, you'll be able to take that and actually put one in there.
Okay.
I'm explaining to the people at home, not to you.
Okay.
You get it. Other improvements include the implementation of metal joints in various parts of the inner frame, which is probably a good idea.
Probably a very good idea.
An all new retracting helmet design, so you no longer have to swap out the part. As well as updated gauntlet designs, which further recreate movie-accurate and highly detailed mechanical design.
So they do the jackhammer thing.
Yes. Hot Toys has bumped the release date back to the second quarter of next year.
Got your lottery ticket?
Yeah, right.
I got mine.
I did, actually.
Yeah. This is like, hey, if I win the lottery, why would I not buy this thing?
So there's pushing it back in order to do some much-needed updates, which...
Sweet.
Probably well thought out on Hot Toys' part, because they're like, yeah, why wouldn't we?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean,
okay, so it adds to the price. Like, these people are penny pinchers to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're buying a Hot Toy Hulkbuster, I think you've got the money to spend.
Yeah, I think you're okay. think you're all right. Because what did we say? It was almost $1,000?
It was $800.
It was $800, yeah.
I remember you trying to talk me into buying the thing when I was getting my new water heater.
I did. I was like, hey, you should buy that. And you're like, no, I like hot water.
Yeah.
Hot water
I like sleeping without hearing weird bangs and pops.
I like rest.
Kickstarter Roundup.
Yeah, well, this one, by the time you hear this, we'll only have a couple days to go. But our buddy Philip Reed, who has done a number of action figure books in the past, he did a number of Star Wars ones. He did a collector's book on the Expanded Universe release of figures, which was only, a small line, but something people had asked for. He did a couple of, of great books, but his new one is on Kickstarter. It's almost funded. It's almost there. It's going to get funded, but it's a photographic overview of action figure carrying cases from the 70s through the 80s, and there's a lot of cool stuff in this. Like, he includes,
The APC. I assume he includes the Rebel Transport.
Probably. What's not inside...
I had that. That... Go down. That plane?
Oh, yeah. The Big Jim Sky Commander.
Yeah. I asked my mom for a dollhouse once. She went to a garage sale and bought me that.
Bobby Dwetch that.
She wanted grandkids.
People have asked, why are you writing a book on action figure cases? Well, for one, if you don't...
I would be more interested in the weird generic ones, but it's an interesting subject.
Yes. The 160-page hardcover book will follow the same physical format as the other ones. The books are designed at 9 inches wide by 6 inches tall. So, okay. It's there's smaller books, but they're really nicely done. So you get a lot of stuff from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. What's not inside will be toy car cases and fashion doll cases. And they're concentrating... He's just concentrating on action figure cases since those are what interest him the most. You also won't find any wrestling figure cases in the book except for Muscle.
Okay.
Because he likes Muscle.
Okay, fair enough.
he has been able to find some of the carrying cases that have eluded him for a while now, but he's been able to get those thanks to other collectors taking pictures for him. I believe he's talked about them in some of his updates.
Okay.
looks like he's had 176 pages. The 1974 Sea Fury carrying case has been found. People keep sending pictures of cases. They're like, we have this one, we have this one. So he's gotten a lot of
I hadn't seen that one before.
The Space Figures case and the Fantasy Figures case.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Those look cheap and generic.
Yes, like they do. This is a great book. I mean, this is really, really cool for anyone who's a big action figure fan, like Dave and myself.
Especially the knockoff ones.
Yes. But it also gives you a great idea of all the official action figure cases throughout the line. What's it take to get one of these books? It's $28 pledge. That's it. $28 pledge to Kickstarter gets you a copy of the action figure carrying case in hardcover. So that's cool. If you pledge $30, you get PDFs of this book as well as all his other books. So that's kind of cool. You don't get physical copies, but you'll get them all to look at. But it's cool. I'm $28 gets you a copy of the book. And there's only, by the time you hear this, there'll only be 2 days left. So it's something I'm trying to scrape the money together. I know $28 doesn't sound like a whole lot, but when you're me, it's with Toy Man coming up, it's a little bit of a chunk of change. So I really want to get this book. So I may have to reach out to Philip on my own and be like, hey,
pull it of all.
But it's cool. He continues to do really cool books like this. The last two that he did Collect These Figures and Accessories was one of them that I've got. And Action Figures Not Included. Each sold separately and Action Figures Not Included were the two that I bought 2 years ago. And one was about... pack-ins, like pamphlet pack-ins.
Oh, yeah.
and the other one was about advertising.
Huh.
Which...
I remember the advertising.
Yeah.
I remember talking about the advertising one.
So,
remember we were talking about a different advertising one.
Yeah. So very cool, though. I mean, lots of great sets out there that he's covering. Lots of great action figures. If you go to the Kickstarter, he's got a Flickr set, so you can actually see examples of some of the cases. Like, I forgot that Episode 1 did this really kind of neat R2-D2 carrying case that actually folded out into a playset that I don't think I ever saw. But stuff like the generic combat, which was a fun generic G.I. Joe display case that had, like, shelves inside of it you could display stuff. You know, Ghostbusters, Beetlejuice, the collector display case for G.I. Joe. Do you have one of those?
No.
No? Those are kind of neat. I like those. The Jumbo Transformers collector case, which I have one of those. Those are neat.
Yeah.
Batman animated series.
I do have the Millennium Falcons because they came with two different figures. One came with Wedge, and I can't remember who the other one was.
Yes.
Scanning crew member.
Yeah, Wedge was the big one. The Strawberry Shortcake, the Big Jim Sky Commander, which Dave had, which is kind of cool. There's a Skeleton Warriors one, which I didn't know existed, which I really want to find now, which was pretty darn neat. Some great Batman Return stuff. The Star Wars
Jedi laser rifle.
Yep. You have one of those?
Nope.
Those are neat too.
I'm not a big
carrying case
guy.
Kario. Which has eluded him. Apparently he just has images from an advertisement.
There you go, the Rebel Transport.
Oh yeah, there's the Rebel Transport.
Which I do have.
Which is cool. Grayskull.
Grayskull's a playset.
It's a carrying case too. It's a carrying case. It was advertised as a carrying case as well. He said in his Kickstarter that some of these are also playsets, but they do duplicate themselves as carrying cases. The Superpowers carrying case, Battle Bones, the collector case, the robot one, which I think Dave has, which looks like a bunch of like weird origami shapes as robots.
Yeah, I do have that one.
Yep. The Fantasy Creatures one is neat because it looks like it's got a.
I like that other fantasy one, like that looked like the action figure one. Then.
Yes, the action figures collector case.
I might track down if I can.
It's a great
that
great,
one there.
Yes,
well there.
Yes, space case figures. Yes. I know. I was like, yes. Great book though. If you go to Kickstarter, Kickstarter.com, and you look up action figure carrying cases, you'll find the book. I suggest you go and pledge quickly. His books are well worth it, and they're beautiful books. Speaking of another book, Mark Bellomo's Ultimate Transformers Guide came out.
Yes,
and I did get a hold of one.
So did I,
and Dave did too. And it's a magnificent book.
That's a good book.
It's better than good. I think it's one of the best G1 Transformer books that's ever been released.
I can't really say that because I don't really. It's better than it's much better than the other Transformer book I have. I'll say that.
Yes.
Maybe it's my bias. I like the G.I. Joe one better. I think it's whatever, bias.
Right. Well, and you're a G.I. Joe guy. You're not much of a Transformer
But I
guy.
Think it was also laid out better.
Right. Well, but Transformers, I mean, there was only so much. Like, you had to pack so much into one book to cover
Transformers
G1.
G1 lasted 6 years. G.I. Joe lasted 12.
That's true.
Whatever. It's a good book.
Yeah.
I'm just, wow, like, you're just, like, getting offended that
I'm not getting offended. No, I never said that. I said it's better than the Bible and Lord of the Rings combined. It's better than your good review. It's a great Transformer book for any Transformer collector.
It is adequate for the job that it is required.
God. I tell you. I don't know why I try.
Throw your Harry Potter books away. This is so much better.
Actually, it is. Our buddy Meister Shake... wanted to know if we would share our opinions on the state of Matty Collector and their future / lack of San Diego Comic-Con / PowerCon presence / silence. I'll be honest, I can't really share my opinions until after San Diego Comic-Con. People are upset. There were PowerCon exclusives, which were announced.
There were.
Which kind of was
I
a big deal.
I have one.
Yeah, Dave does have one. Which one did you get?
I love you, man. You're like, yeah, Dave's got one. Wait, Dave got one?
When did you get it?
I got CamelCon.
Oh, CamelCon. Who got you that?
I got me that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's called the internet.
It's called the eBays, people.
Well, it's called Big Bad had it.
Oh, did they?
Uh-huh.
I'll be darned. People are upset over the San Diego Comic-Con lack of exclusives for Masters, which we talked about, I think, last show.
Yeah, but they got the Thundercats's.
They do have the Thundercats, which kind of took the place of Masters, I think.
I think so.
I think at this point, anything they do for going forward, if it's not a, if it's not part of the Filmation line, which is, seems to kind of be where they're putting all their eggs in the basket.
There's still a few classics left. They've got like Tuscadoro or...
Yeah, there's still a few vintage classics figures that they're going to do. I think by the end of it, they'll have done all the New Adventures figures. They'll have done almost all the New Adventures figures. All the She-Ra figures. Of course, all all the vintage He-Man figures are done.
Yeah,
all like the they've done Masters, that entire yeah. line of Masters. I think that was their goal. I think that's what this this crew that's in charge now is going to start wrapping up, and I think we're going to see the end of Classics as it is now, which they've already said going forward, Classics is going to end, and but He-Man will continue on in some form, which is probably the Filmation line.
For now.
For now. So, I'm going to wait till after San Diego Comic-Con to see, you know, the Maddie Palooza panel is usually a big deal, so we'll see if they announce anything. Of course, last year they famously revealed Snake Mountain, which they have not talked about.
Yeah, that.
Or
that had, cool thing yeah. that got released and is totally existing.
Yeah, so we may see more of that this year. And
more lies! Yeah. Hey, kids, Eternia! Yeah. It'll totally be coming out it'll someday.
Total, we're totally going to do
wink.
This. Wink. Wink, wink, wink. Totally going to do it.
Totally going to happen. Absolutely guaranteed.
What do you say we answer some fan questions? Quincy Watson wants to know, as a child, how many toy accessories did you accidentally swallow?
None.
I did not swallow any. I never had to pass a coin. I never had to pass a sword.
No.
I never had to pass a lightsaber. I did not swallow any.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah, no. So, sorry.
I would chew on them, but I wouldn't swallow them.
I wouldn't chew on them. I was smarter than that, Dave.
Emotional problems.
Fair enough. Floorburger, our buddy Josh Flood, says, to continue the Joe questions from last week, was there any spring-powered or action feature-centric accessories included with basic Joe figures that you particularly enjoyed?
No.
The incinerator fireball catapult was particularly unique.
I think that's like one of the few, aside from the spring-loaded rocket launchers, I think that's one of the few, well, there was some later stuff. No, most of that stuff was later issue stuff, and yes. I wasn't into it.
Yeah, none of the stuff I collected had any of that. It was all, you have to pull the missile off yourself and...
Use your imagination.
That's right, that's right. I don't know if I ever saw the incinerator. What is that?
It's a later Cobra guy. It's a fire trooper.
Oh, okay.
He's kind of like orange, and he's got like a little thing that like flings these little plastic orange balls that are supposed to be like fireballs or something.
Oh, okay. Again,
I think it's a spring. I think it's actually a rubber band powered, I believe.
He goes on to say, also, I once lost a Ninja Force nunchuck figure when playing with him outside in a tree. I would find him the next year still waiting to ambush cobras in the same spot, weapons in hand. Have you ever had an interesting outdoor story with your Joes or other figures?
Well, sort of. When I was a kid back in North Carolina and I was playing around outside and there was this tree and it had like this little hollow spot at the bottom. We used it as a little cave. And like not too long afterwards, I came back out and there was a snake kind of hanging down from inside the tree, eating a frog, pulling the frog back up into the tree.
Oh.
And you wonder why I stay in my house all the time.
Dave, nature scares Dave. Dave not like nature. Nature frightened.
Well, yeah.
That poor frog.
Poor frog.
Never stood a chance.
No.
Outdoor stories. The only outdoor stories I have were...
You never get off the boat. You never get off the boat.
I had... what was Matt Tracker's son's name in Mask? He came with a little robot.
He came with, T-Bot.
T-Bot. I couldn't think of the kid's name, and I had T-Bot.
Yeah, T-Bot's something you need to know.
I had taken him to a friend's, and we were playing with him in a puddle, and I went in to use the bathroom, and when I came out, he's like, I lost it in the puddle, I don't know. Well, he stole it. Of course, years later, I come to realize as I got older, he stole my figure.
Who is this?
His name was Kevin.
Okay. Yeah. So it wasn't one of your little...
No. Yeah, he stole my toy.
Wow.
That's about it. That usually, outside stuff like that usually ends up...
stuff gets lost or broken, falls off the house.
I didn't take my toys outside a whole lot.
Yeah, I didn't either. I wasn't big on that. Especially after, like, you know, that, and I got stung by a wasp. I did not like to go outside.
No, wasps blow. They're horrible, horrible little creatures. Yes. Horrible, horrible little creatures. Simon James wants to know, what are our seven deadly sins of toy collecting? So, and for example, Wrath, what toy do you own that you hate?
I am particularly unfond of DC Universe Hal Jordan from the box set, because that's the one that I have on the display.
Oh, yes.
He's in the front, and I've got him like with his little fist thing.
Yeah.
Literally, he is the figure that will get knocked over every freaking time I adjust anything anywhere near his vicinity.
Toy that I own that I hate. I think I got rid of all the ones that I hate.
Well, okay. And then what one did you get rid of that you hated?
Tales from the Crypt Keeper.
I remember that.
Yeah. Those toys went bye-bye real quick because they're horrible. Gluttony, what do you have the most of?
Cobra Vipers. Yeah, it's got to be, because I have like five, I have four or five of those six packs.
Yeah.
So if you want that specific figure, it would be that one.
Yes. Happy Meal toys. I probably have sets upon sets upon sets of Happy Meals that are extras, that are duplicates, that are sitting in a, like, several totes and a large box. Like, sitting there with Carrie and I going, I don't know what we're going to do with all this stuff now, because we get a ton of it. Lust, what toy do you lust after?
Probably either Vlix or the humanoid from the Black Hole.
Yes.
Those are things that I will never, ever own.
Mine was the Ghost Command playset. And I succeeded in my lust, and it turned to love. Greed, what single toy has taken most of your money?
The second flag.
In the box. Yes. Which was, is still one of my favorite stories of Dave's, and one of the dumbest moments in all the time I've known Dave.
Dumbest?
For him to go, challenge accepted.
Dumbest.
I've done horrible things.
I think you mean smartest. Oh, you mean most awesome.
Yes, Dave.
I have two flags. How cool is that?
That's pretty cool. But I remember at the time you were like, I kind of regret doing it. Do I look like
I'm starving?
No.
Am I homeless?
No.
Is my house like too cold or too hot because I can't run the air conditioning or the furnace?
It's kind of warm.
A little warm.
Yeah.
But that's not a choice. You had like six people.
That's true.
Point being, have I paid any price other than, you know, the actual...
Other than semi-regret?
I got over that.
Okay.
Come on.
Ghost Command playset.
Yeah, probably.
Since I tend to buy on the cheap a lot of times, and manage to succeed on finding good stuff on the cheap, that took the most of my money.
It was still on the cheap.
It was still on the cheap, but that was the most money
I still on the cheap, and I'm surprised... I wouldn't be surprised if you've already made some money off of it.
Have
you, like, sold some of the extras?
No.
Okay.
Are you
ever gonna?
Yeah, eventually.
There you go.
Classic
Duvall.
I know. Sloth, which toy do you want but never ever seem to want to buy?
Huh. Maybe the Wonder Twins?
Yes. Dave does not own the Wonder Twins.
I don't own the Wonder Twins.
Or Gleek.
I have Gleek.
You have Gleek. That's right. You have Gleek. No Wonder Twins, though.
Yeah, I just never gotten around to it. There's a couple of DC Universe figures that just... That last wave with Stars. Never bothered to pick it up.
Yeah.
I kind of want it because it's the only wave I don't have.
Right. Dave has literally every other wave.
Yeah, I've got every other wave. I don't have some of the... when they did the Superpowers variants.
Right. Bless you. Thank you.
Like the Kirby / Superpowers variants.
Right.
Like sometimes I wouldn't get like both of those. So there's a couple of those guys. But I have like... One Steppenwolf or the other, but I don't have both.
Right.
But yeah, that one wave at the end and then the Wonder Twins is probably the ones.
True. That I want but I never seem to buy. Transformers.
I can see that.
Yeah. Masterpiece Transformers. I want them. I don't ever buy them. Envy. Whose single toy do you envy the most and what is it?
I don't know. Oh, I do know. I'm not going to say.
Really? Why?
I don't want to start trouble.
Why?
I'm legitimately a little jealous.
Yeah?
I'm legitimately...
We'll say it.
Danny has a signed... I think it's Adam West signed Grey Ghost. It's either Adam West or the guys that made the episode.
Oh, yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. I don't. How did he get that? I don't remember.
I got it from Mattel.
That's right. Mattel sent it to him for Christmas.
Uh huh.
That was a Christmas gift to Danny one year from Nightlick from Mattel.
Yeah.
Yep. I believe it is. It is signed both by Adam West and by Bruce Timm, I think. Yeah. That's. I don't know where he's got that. I don't know if it's on display or what. I'm sure it is. I forgot he had that.
I've never forgotten.
That was a big deal at PCN because. I remember him saying that he got that, and you were like, "Oh!"
I was a little, I was like, "Oh, I love that show." I mean, he legitimately loves Batman too.
Yes, so yes, to be fair. Whose single toy do you envy the most, and what is it? Oh God, what? I mean, we always joke about
how Dave's cool Elf Quest line.
Oh no, that was mine. That was mine before.
That's
it was
my
yours.
Point.
Yeah, that was mine before it was yours.
Dave's cool Dark Knight Hot Toys.
No, that was mine before it was yours.
Yeah, but it's mine now.
That's true, but I don't.
It's
I don't,
mine now.
I don't regret selling it.
B word.
I don't know, man.
I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
I mean, I go back to the Ghost Command playset because I've known people who've had it, and I'm like,
I'm sure something Plouffe has you're jealous of. Gotta be something.
I mean, he's got a complete Visionaries line, and I'm still missing.
There you go.
But I'm not.
Oh, come on! Just say something. End it.
I don't know.
Like, I admitted my resentment of Danny. You can admit something.
Eh.
Don't throw me out like that. Don't do me like that.
I seriously don't have an answer.
Oh.
Like I'm not. I'm just not that kind of type of person. Where I'm
You're
like,
absolutely.
No, I'm not. And Pride. What item or collection are you most proud of?
Defiant.
Yeah, Davis. Yep.
That's my bay. I built that. I mean, that's like the dudes that build their own cars.
Yes.
Basically.
Dave literally bought, I can't tell you how many parts and pieces to finish that thing 100%.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's only one reproduction part, right?
No, I think everything on that is 100%.
Is everything on 100%?
The fantail on the flag is reproduction.
Is reproduction, that's right. Because it's just a little thin piece of plastic.
It looks like a sprue tree, you know.
Yeah.
But I think the Defiant is 100% authentic. That last chair I got from Germany.
Yep.
So what are you proud of?
Places.
Yeah.
My police academy.
Okay.
Including the mail-away Captain Harris.
Harris.
Yep. The U.S. released police academy stuff. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I am most proudest of finishing that off. Because it's a fun toy line, and it was fun to finally finish that with Captain Harris and have that figure in my hand after all these years and be like, ah. And I'm also proud of the complete Filmation Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Because that's the huge deal.
Well, that is kind of a hard one to do.
Yes.
So, that's Mike... Okay, you ready?
No, go ahead, yeah.
I was going to say, Mike Irizarry asks, when will Mike Irizarry be back? He's dreary. I can't agree more. He is dreary.
He's dreamy.
Quite dull and dreadful.
Dreamy.
That's why I would cut you off, because I didn't do that joke.
I know.
Yeah, whenever we can get him on, I guess. He's a hard target to hit.
Yeah, boy. Well, what? This is Irizarry we're talking about.
Yeah.
He's... not a hard target to hit.
No, he's just very difficult to get a hold of.
That's true.
So popular.
Oh, he is popular.
He's the belle of the ball.
Hanging
all
out.
All the podcasts.
Hanging out with his friends from Kentucky and Canada.
England.
Yeah. God. Jill Colton's from Canada.
I know.
She's Canadian, eh?
I know.
That's why she's so nice. Those Canadians. Kind. Generous.
Okay.
I don't know.
Then go live in Canada.
Jeez, what is wrong with you tonight?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
It is the day after our nation's birthday, and here you are.
Stupid
like,
firework day.
Lusting after Canada all the time.
Stupid firework day.
Canada, we love you so much with your hockey and your beavers and your beer and your moose and your dirt.
Wow.
You went
to dirt, huh?
That was from the Ren and Stimpy. Mounted Canadian Kilted Yaksman.
Ah, yes.
Our country's reek of trees.
Tony Hernandez says, happy 4th of July. Thank you, thank you. With that in mind, in your youth, how many toys did you blow up with fireworks?
Zero.
Yeah, none. Sorry.
I burned a couple.
I didn't even do that.
But yeah, no, I never had fireworks.
No, I had a friend. Actually, our webmaster.
Okay, another one of your little...
Jesus. Will you stop with the jealousy thing?
Whores.
You're such a jealous bastard. God. I never am like, when you're like, I'm going out with my high school friends. I'm like, yay, Dave.
I don't
go
do
hang
that.
Out with other friends.
I don't have other friends.
Yes, you do.
Well, I'm so jealous and bitter.
Oh, my God.
Whatever.
You're awful.
Whatever.
Awful. You have more than one best friend, too, by the way.
I have two.
Yes.
One I haven't seen in literally 8 years.
Well, there you go.
Well, okay. Well, you know what? Maybe I only do have the one best friend. Maybe someone just got demoted to vice best friend.
Wow. I'll take it. Yeah, our webmaster, John, I believe John did this, set a G.I. Joe jet on fire and threw it from his garage roof.
Set a G.I. Joe what on fire?
A G.I. Joe jet on fire.
Oh, jet. He says, I thought you said gun.
No, a G.I. Joe jet.
Okay.
I believe it was the Sky Striker. Set it on fire, threw it off the roof.
Boy, that's not that. Bet that feels like a smart move now.
Eh.
No, I'm not making fun of him. I mean, I destroyed, like, a 12-inch Boba Fett. Which, you know, when I got the price guide back in, like, 1994.
Yeah.
Back then, I was like, wow, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, you're like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Uriah Parrish says, I recently read Ready Player One and loved it. What are some good, geek, easy books you guys like to read?
Well, I haven't read it myself, but the same person who recommended Ready Player One to me recommended Armada, which is the follow-up. Not the follow-up, but the same author's next book.
Right.
Which apparently is much more video game-y. It's much more video game-oriented than...
Yes.
Also, one that I have read that I liked was Red Shirts.
Oh, yeah.
John Scalzia?
Yeah.
Something like that. Which is a funny... I mean, obviously, it's very influenced by Star Trek. But it's a very clever little book. It takes an interesting turn, like, about halfway through the...
Right.
To the story. Yeah. But that's a good one.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I don't read a lot of, like, geeky books. Like, I read Ready Player One, which is good. I enjoyed that book a lot. But I like to read a lot of stuff like The Battle for Late Night is one of my favorite books.
Yeah.
Like, there's two of them. There's the Late Night Wars and The Battle for Late Night. Both by the same author. One follows Leno Letterman and Carson.
Yeah.
And then the next one, which is the follow-up, which he was like at the beginning of that, I think his intro was like, never thought I'd have to write another book like this, but here we go, follows Leno, Conan, and that Leno. Whole debacle, yeah, the NBC debacle with that. So so that's a fun book. Oh, there's a Disney one I read. I didn't get to read this year, and I can't think of the name of it.
There's a wrestling one that was really good that you've blown me. About, I think, the WCW and...
Oh, yeah, the death of WCW.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Dave actually read that, and he was like, that was really good.
That was really interesting, yeah.
There is a Disney one, I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but it was published, oh God, it's probably 12 years old now, 13 years old, but it followed basically the rise and fall of Eisner and the Stanley Gold, Roy Disney campaign to save Disney... and get Eisner fired. It was like the before Twitter, it was basically the first hashtag, like Save Disney was everywhere on Facebook and stuff over those years. I think I still got a bumper sticker for it.
The first hashtag was Frodo Lives.
Yes, it was, but it's kind of like a hashtag at the time. But
I know, I'm not saying it wasn't a hashtag, I'm just saying that Frodo Lives predates it by several decades.
That's true. But that book is fascinating to read because the author... was basically given access at the beginning to started to write a book about Michael Eisner and was brought in and given complete access and was basically given a contract by Disney that said, you can write about anything you see, anything that happens, you can put in this book because we want the story to be told about Eisner. During that time was Roy Disney just left. Like, he left the company and went out on his own with his lawyer and best friend Stanley Gold, and they started this outside campaign to get rid of Michael Eisner. And it started out as this great telling, and then it just slowly like went downhill into craziness.
Into craziness. He's gone to get the book. He's going to show you. He's going to hold the book up to the microphone so you can all see the book. No one will be seated during the Jason Gets His Book sequence of today's podcast.
I just wanted to get the name of it because I'm like, people are going to be like, what was the book? It's by author James B. Stewart. It's called Disney War. And it's...
Hold it up to the microphone.
No, they don't need to see that. It is a... the back of it is the fusion of chief executive Michael Eisner's identity with that of Disney. L'état c'est moi is hardly a rare phenomenon in either business or history. It has traditionally led to the downfall of nearly all absolute monarchies. A familiar tragic character in Shakespeare, Lear, Henry IV, Richard II, Macbeth, Richard III, is the ruler whose power is such that he bends the truth itself to suit his will. When Eisner himself sometimes referred to the ongoing drama around him as Shakespearean, he might as well have been describing Shakespeare's many explorations of this very theme, in which a monarch forgets his subjects and answers to the demand of his own ego. Fascinating book.
I could say something, but we're not going to get political.
Oh. Okay.
No, I'm just like, boy, that sounds like someone I know. Well, I don't really know them, but
well, yes.
I'm not going to vote for them.
Yes, great book. Fascinating. Now that I pull it out, I'm like, I may have to read this book again, because I literally used to read this book every year.
Yeah, I did that with Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and this, it's just, to me, it's just a great tale of what can go wrong and right so quickly. but yeah, those are the kind of books I read.
Yeah.
Like, I've got Our Gang, or Our Street, which is the biography of Sesame Street, which was the making of that from its creation to its current state, which is a fascinating book that opens and closes on Jim Henson's funeral, which is pretty tear-jerking, in, even in written form.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of books that I read. Blake Wright asks, thinking about attending King County for the first time this October, any pointers for a newbie to the show?
Bring money.
Well, for one...
And bring stuff for us.
No, stop it.
Yes.
For one, come up on...
Appease us.
Come up for Saturday. Like, come up Saturday... To come to our now...
Oh, okay.
Hey, we're going to do it every time, man.
Oh, are we?
Yes, we are. Our little Toy World Order meetup. It was fun. Tell me you did not have fun in the spring.
I'm not saying I didn't have fun. I just didn't know it was going to be a thing.
It is going to be a thing.
It's like I socialize for the year with people.
Well, you have to socialize twice lots of people, yes.
There may be more stabbing. And you didn't even eat. You're so busy being the belle of the ball playing with your Ghost Command.
No, you were busy being the belle
of the ball, and then the Ghost Command came, and there was no one else.
It was me and the Ghost Command.
Like Q Helpless from Hamilton.
Yes. Helpless. What Dave said, bring money. Bring a good cash fund. As it is a great show. We've talked about in the past about how some shows are better than others, and it seems from year to year the shows kind of flip-flop on what's better, what's not.
Yeah.
But there's always stuff at that show to buy.
Comfortable walking shoes.
Yeah, bring your walking shoes. It is 5 buildings worth of stuff now, actually. And like I said, there's something to buy there every show. You will find something to buy at that show. Even if you buy one thing, you will find something that you wanted that you will buy. Without fail, I think. I don't think Dave and I have ever gone to this show and not walked out of there with something.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's us, so.
I do think there was that one year when Kent came with us. We still bought stuff, but I think we bought more almost at C2E2 than we did at King County.
Yes. That's true, we did. And Benjamin Scott Spencer says, what, in your opinion, is the last great vintage toy line? And he goes on to say Stone Protectors.
Power Rangers.
Yep, I agree with Dave. That was the last great vintage toy line.
That was the last great toy line that was a toy line for kids.
Yes.
I think with Power of the Force and with everything after Toy Biz's early days, there was always a collector element.
Yes.
So I would say Power Rangers was the last pure... kid, great vintage kid toy line.
Yes.
Ben 10 was around for a while, and you know, nowadays I don't think there's anything. Like, everything's got the collector taint attached to it.
Yes, it does. Power Rangers was the last great vintage kids toy line.
Yes, truly great.
Yes. It's got a lot of haters, but that line was magnificent for what it was.
For what it was amazing.
For many years, up through... I believe in the movie, like, release stuff.
Yeah, the movie release stuff.
And they did some collector stuff, but it wasn't really geared towards collector. It was just like I've got the black and gold Megazord, the first release.
Okay.
That I think was, like, I want to say it was, like, a Venture exclusive or something like that. I have that, and that was, like, collector edition. And they did a few things like that.
Well, I mean,
it was
the vintage Star Wars, they did collector stuff. I mean, you know, they play that up. But, from a purely the line being designed, you know, in terms of sales point, I'm kind of
I get gabbering, what you're
gibbering buzzwords. But yeah. But point being, but Power Rangers was a the last really pure. Not that collectors didn't buy it, but it was that last major vintage toy line before the collector era really kind of came along.
I agree. Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up our show for this week. Dave and I will be back next. Oh, you know what? No, I.
Ow.
Toy Man's this weekend.
Jab me with your
thumb. I'm sorry. Dave and I will be at Toy Man in Bridgeton, Missouri this weekend.
Assuming anyone, I don't murder you for jabbing me.
Anyone.
Sure, you want to take me along and not one of your other little.
You have
hussies?
Stuff. Will you stop it? Jesus. I swear, Draper.
Now I'm just doing it because it annoys
me. I know. It's frustrating. I hate it when you find something that annoys me.
Yeah.
Dave and I will be set up at Toy Man this week. This weekend.
Sunday.
Sunday. We will be set up. We will be hanging out there all day. So if you're in the Bridgeton, Missouri area, come out and check it out.
Buy things.
Yes, buy things.
It's not a library.
Oh. But we'll have some fun stuff to sell. Dave will have quite.
I don't have like a huge variety, but what I have is kind of interesting.
Yes.
Which means it probably won't sell. Well, because some of it I'm not going to price. A lot of times when we bring stuff, we price it so that the collectors, or not the collectors, the other dealers will clean us out.
Right.
And there's a couple things that I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to roll the dice, and if someone buys it for that price, they buy it for that price.
Correct.
Otherwise, I got an extra steel monster.
Yeah. And then Saturday, actually, Carrie and I are going to Chicago. Twofold. We're meeting John and Ben from Ben's Toy Ben, who actually sponsor Married to the Collection. They've been trying to get together with us for a while to meet them. So Carrie and I are going out there to do a little.
Oh yeah, you're doing the pony.
We are going. Carrie and I are going to the My Little Pony Fair in Chicago this weekend on Saturday. Thanks to John and Ben, they managed to pull some strings, and I'll be taking the camera, so we'll be filming some stuff there that'll be on the website eventually for that. As well as hanging out with them for a little bit. So, but if you're going to the My Little Pony Fair in Chicago by any chance, we'll be there on Saturday. Look for us. So we'll probably be hanging out with John and Ben, and probably be walking around filming stuff. A lot of great stuff going to that convention as well. A lot of there's supposed to be a large exhibit on vintage ponies, which is kind of cool to me because vintage stuff.
So that's your interest.
Yeah. And then of course, like I said, Dave and I will be at Toy Man on Sunday. So if you're in Bridgeton, Missouri for Toy Man Toy Show, come by. I'm not sure where we're set up yet. Usually Chris shows off the
layout.
He has not yet for some reason. I'm not sure why, which is weird because usually he does. So I'm not sure where we're set up yet, but shouldn't be.
Don't put us in the hall.
Yeah, don't put us in the hall, please. Don't
I
put
hate
us in the hall.
Hall.
Don't put us in the hall. Yes, it is up. Is the list up though?
I will sabotage that horrible net thing.
Sabotage. But yeah, there's some fun stuff coming up this weekend for us.
Okay.
And if you go to Toy Man, some of the special guests. One of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Is Philo Barnhart is coming back to Toy Man. He is one of the Disney artists that worked on Little Mermaid, and he worked on Beauty and the Beast, and he also worked on Secret of Nim, which isn't a Disney film, and he worked for Don Bluth on Dragon's Lair and Space Ace and all that great stuff. So he will be there selling prints and all that. He's a great guy. Great prints. I still have a couple that I haven't printed. That I haven't framed yet. Yep. That were all signed to me. So some fun stuff. I need to get frames for these one of these days, but they're kind of hidden and off to the side and protected. So. But Philo will be there as well as a large array of special guests from around the area, so make sure you check that out. But there you go, gang. There's some stuff going on this weekend for toy nerds and geeks alike, so make sure you check that out. Dave and I will be back next week. Make sure you check out our sponsors, the Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at shellheadcomics.com. Check them out. Send them some love. Check us out on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. Check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder. Hit subscribe. Mash the like button. Pretend you're the puppet on the 4th of July and you're hitting the ignite button. Lots of boom booms.
Kaboom.
Yes, kaboom those subscribers up. And gang, until then, we'll be back. So take care, guys. And David?
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.